This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Olu George Ministries presents Focus on Freedom Podcast. We're covering the face of the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. Welcome to an encounter with timeless, transcendent, and triumphant truth. Here's your brother, friend, and messenger, Olu M. George.
I would just like to remind us again why we are doing all these studies. We are doing all these studies to prepare ourselves to live in these dangerous times that we live in. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, in the end times, difficult times. The King James says, perilous times. Another translation says, times of great stress. The events of the last 2 years were not accidental. They were carefully orchestrated over thousands of years, possibly over decades. The systems were carefully being put in place to exert maximum pressure on all of mankind. Right now, as we speak, the economies of the world is collapsing. There is unrest in about 100 nations. Just a few days ago in Sri Lanka, about a million people rushed into the offices of the prime minister and his residence and took it over. And the military and the police just stood down and watched it. This is going on in Europe, where farmers are rising up against food reset. It's brewing in the United States. It's brewing in parts of the Americas. Things will not get better on the outside. Looking at it from the eyes of the flesh, things are not going to get better. To survive and to thrive in these end times, you need to know who you are, whose you are, who you belong to. You know, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, they that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. It is the knowledge of God that confers strength. Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord, not in your education, not in your finances, not in your social standing, not in your family background, not in your level of wisdom, your level of education or lack of it. Be strong in the Lord. So when we start dealing with the subjects of anxiety and worry and fear and inferiority and guilt, things like that, we are preparing you to thrive in these end times, because the enemy has declared total war against all that is godly, all that is needed and needful for righteousness. Every institution that God has created, the church, marriage, parenthood, fatherhood, motherhood, all of this is being under attack. Women are under tremendous attacks from the people who claim to care so much about women. Women's sports are being taken over by men pretending to be women. We live in interesting times, and that is why I have come your way to teach you how to stress less so that you can live a full life the way God intended, so that you can live a life on the plane, live a quality of life that is not possible to people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. One of our desires is that men and women should look at our lives and get a glimpse of who God is. That men should look at our lives and want to be like us and want to know our God, want to know the word of God that we preach. Today, I want to discuss something that I have known very well in my own life, something I have had to deal with for a long time, and something that by the grace of God, I believe I have been enabled and I've been empowered to overcome. I want to speak about boredom. I looked for some literature. I couldn't find much on the subject of boredom, but I believe that boredom is a very serious problem in the world today. I believe that a lot of bad behavior, a lot of bad habits, a lot of attention-seeking maladjustments is due to boredom. And as the fourth revolution takes place, as artificial intelligence, quantum computing, and robots take over the jobs of many, the level of boredom will increase. I mean, it has been said that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. So today, I want to share a few things that I have learned directly by experience and that I've learned from the Word of God. I will take our text from Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. I read it in the Passion Translation. It says, "Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him." I read that again. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. God does not want to serve Him with a lukewarm attitude or a cold attitude. Remember the church in Revelations, I believe it was Laodicean church. The Lord says, "You are neither cold nor hot. You are lukewarm. And because of that, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, God says to the children of Israel, "Because you will not serve the Lord your God with gladness, with excitement, with joyfulness, with passion for the abundance of all things, I, the Lord, will see to it that you serve your enemies." So He doesn't just want us to serve Him. He wants us to be excited about serving Him. He wants us to be passionate about serving Him. He doesn't just want us to pray. He wants us to pray from the depth of our spirit. He doesn't just want empty verbal mouth worship. He says, "These people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." He says in John chapter 4, "They that must worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth." They must worship Him from their innermost being, from their core being, and they must do it in reality. So every part of them, their spirit, their intuition, their conscience, their intellect, their emotions, all of it, like a musical orchestra, must unitedly worship God. So when I sing with my voice, my hands are lifted up. I'm in a posture of worship. My mind is engaged. I'm visualizing. I'm seeing the awesomeness and the glory and the beauty of God that is transcendent to anything we have ever seen or have ever known. God will not accept just any kind of sacrifice from us, just like He didn't accept the sacrifice of Cain. Cain went to his farm and took, according to the King James Version, whatever came to his hand. Abel, on the other hand, looked in his flock and brought a quality offering. An offering that cost him something. And so the Lord accepted the sacrifice of Abel, but roundly and soundly rejected the sacrifice of Cain. There was no passion there. His heart was not in it. He says, do not be, in the King James Version of Romans chapter 12, 11, he says, "Be not slothful in business. Be not sluggish and slow and dull, but be fervent in spirit. Be hot in the spirit. Be maintaining a constant temperature. Be on the boiling point of a thermometer. Radiate the glow of the Holy Spirit. Let the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit fill every moment of every day. Let every experience you have be an opportunity to manifest the presence and the glory of God." I want to quote John Newton. He says, "God's people have no assurances that the dark experiences of life will be held at bay, much less that God will provide some sort of running commentary on the meaning of each day's allotment of confusion, boredom, pain, or achievement. It is no great matter where we are, provided we see that the Lord placed us there and that He is there with us." Those who have tasted the bitter pills of boredom do not need or require a definition. They have tested it for long periods of time. The only difficulty is there isn't much help I have found to help people who are dealing with boredom. How does boredom happen? Boredom happens when you do not experience genuine excitement from the inside about your life, your job, or the experiences you are having. It also happens when you find yourself in a place where you have nothing from the outside that stimulates you, nothing from the outside that challenges your creativity, that tasks your mind, nothing that engages enough of your faculty to give you any sense of meaning, any sense of significance, enjoyment, or achievement. In other words, nothing exciting is happening, whether inside or outside. But I want to drop a nugget of truth on you. If I told you, would you believe that boredom, the ability to be bored, is actually a learned behavior? Boredom hardly happens in the jungles of Africa, in the hardest and the toughest places, where you have to go miles to get water to drink, where you have no access to plumbing, to electricity, no access to banking, to health services. They hardly ever get bored in those places. They are too busy irking out a living. As a matter of fact, until the 19th, between the 18th and the 19th century, humanity as a species, didn't have a concept of being bored. Our ancestors were too preoccupied, eking out a living, staying safe from being eaten by wild animals, surviving from diseases that have no cure, and a myriad of other realities, the harshness of the weather, the reality of life. They had to trek long distances to gather food, to fetch water. They didn't have the experience, the luxury of what we call boredom. And as our prosperity increases, as technology advances and gets better, as the age of enlightenment morphed into the industrial age and prosperity grew, so also boredom grew. I believe the generation of our children and our children's children are dealing more with boredom than we had the time to deal with. I remember growing up, we climbed trees, we played in the open fields, but now kids just play on their computers. They play on their cell phones. So boredom is becoming a pandemic of itself. You see, boredom to some extent is normal from time to time. We get bored with too much or too little of anything. Daily habits, chores, activities of daily preoccupation or occupational work can become monotonous. We start to dread them. So you should not be alarmed if you feel a level of boredom, because you have a level of luxury. But when boredom becomes chronic, when boredom begins to last longer than it should, when it begins to invade every aspect of life, when for days at a time, for weeks, for months, and even some for years, this dark cloud of boredom rests on the soul of man, then it is time to reach out for help. There are many reasons, psychological, emotional, spiritual reasons, why men can be so bored to this level. I know that many young men, even older men, who are addicted to pornography, for example, it is only because of their boredom. Now, for us to uproot this dilemma from its roots, we need to take a look at what might be the causes of boredom. And as I begin to outline these causes, do not imagine I'm labeling you if you are dealing with this matter. Just be quiet and be sensitive and be open to the Spirit of a living God to minister to you, to show you how you can beat this challenge. The first reason for boredom is idleness and laziness. As I mentioned earlier, our ancestors were too busy staying alive. They didn't have time to get bored. But today, the story is not the same. Things have gotten better for the human race. The average person today lives a better quality of life than royalty 200 years ago. Many of us do not have demanding jobs. We are seated at the desk for hours on end. In fact, somebody has said the only exercise some people do is jumping into conclusion. The truth of the matter is humanity was never designed to be idle. We're never designed for a sedentary life. And when I say lazy, I don't just mean that you don't work. I'm talking about physical exertion, physical intense work that causes you to sweat. We are designed to work hard, to sweat, to stress. When I say stress, I mean to exert pressure, you know, and then to have seasons of rest and refreshing. But when we live a sedentary life, we become in a way idle, and that is a death-producing activity. Satan's favorite minds and hands, and those that are not productively engaged. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 13 says, from the NIV, besides they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but they also become busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 18 in the New King James Version. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. A few years ago, I actually saw a documentary about some sports equipment manufacturer that created this treadmill that you can actually stand on and walk at your desk. So the treadmill is under your desk and you're walking while you are working all day, because it has also been discovered that sitting for hours on end can actually shorten one's life. Idleness and laziness are not natural. They also have to be learned. In the area of government, when government assumes the responsibility of looking after people, when government decides to give out handouts, free monies, something we saw in the year 2020, the government all over the world, not just in our country, forced businesses to close down, forced companies to close down, schools and all workers, and the government gave them monies to spend while they sat at home and watched TV or conducted their business by Zoom and by social media. Well, the government does not make any money. The government does not manufacture money, whatever. The government gives to one, the government must take from another. And these kind of things provoke an over-reliance on government. It is unhealthy. It is not the way we are supposed to be. The government is not supposed to determine so much of what we do and how we do it. The government is there to provide guidelines and protect us primarily, while creating an atmosphere of freedom and equity whereby everyone has a chance to achieve all of their God-given dreams. When we are idle, it produces serious problem. First, one of its problems of being idle is lack and perennial poverty. For example, when the children of Israel transitioned into Egypt and they were introduced to Pharaoh, Pharaoh had a little request that he made to Joseph. He said, if there be any men of activity, any men of activity, I don't want idle men. I don't want sedentary men. I don't want lazy men. I don't want men who are unengaged, unoccupied. I don't want men with free time, too much free time on their hands. I want men who are full of activity. Everybody that Jesus called was full of activity. They were busy at something, at a trade, at a craft. They were fishermen. They were scribes. They were doctors. They were lawyers. They had preoccupation. Work is the answer to lack and perennial poverty, generational poverty. And when I say work, I don't just mean any kind of work. I mean intelligent, smart, God-ordained work. Apart from lack and want, idleness makes us vulnerable to gossip and meddling in the business of other people. People who are idle are tempted easily to become walkabouts, bearers of bad news, bearers of accusation. They now participate in the ministry of the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren. Therefore, no matter our situation in life, whether we are called to be in the ministry full-time or we are called to be in the ministry part-time, we must find a way to engage ourselves productively in physically challenging work, mentally stimulating work, and spiritually exerting work. We must choose a line of work that matches our real interests. You mustn't just work for money. You must work in an area that unleashes your adrenaline. A few days ago, a gentleman called me and was trying to sell me some ideas of what to do in the media on radio. And I said, I had a very simple answer. It was a very, very easy answer. I said, I found what the Lord has called me to do. I've narrowed it down. I've fine-tuned it over 30 years. And now I am insanely focused on what the Lord has called me to do. I don't have enough time in a day to do what I need to do. And what is that? It is prayer and the ministry of the word. So it's important to find work, to be engaged in an area where you have passion, where you have gifts, where you have ability, where that you enjoy, something that unleashes the passion in you. David, one of the greatest kings of Israel, fell into a vortex of destruction by being at home when kings went to war. Because he was supposed to be at war, yes, he was at home, he saw what he shouldn't have seen. He stirred up deadly passions within him. And the result was lying, adultery, deceit, and murder. This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is the man of whom God testified. He's a man after my heart, a man who will do everything I command him to do. And yet, he yielded to the worst part of his flesh. He lied, he deceived, he committed adultery, and he tried to cover it up. And then when he couldn't cover it up, he murdered the granddaughter of his closest associate, Ahithophel, her husband. So the grandson-in-law of his most trusted advisor, David chose to do this. And David paid dearly. When prophet Nathan came to David to accuse him, he told him a parable about a rich man that took the sheep of a poor man. David said, that man must pay four times. Well, David paid for the death of Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, with four of his sons. Idleness and boredom and laziness must be avoided at all costs. Productive work is part of our worship. Productive work is part of ministry. God gave Adam work before he gave him a wife. It is impossible to have a sense of meaning, a sense of dignity, a sense of self-worth and significance without definitive, meaningful work. Father God, I pray that you will help my brother and my sister today to be productively engaged, to find their passion, to find their dreams. You are a way maker. Father, as the economies of the planet begin to collapse, as the supply chain problems begin to increase, as food scarcity begins to ravage the planet, we look up to heaven that according to your word, we will rejoice and we will laugh at destruction, and you will make a way because you are the way maker. We thank you, Divine Master, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Focus on Freedom Podcast. For more information, please visit alugeorgeministries.global or send a WhatsApp inquiry to +27 81 300 6633. Also, like, subscribe, and share our content on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. See you next time.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.